You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One down, just 102 to go. On that positive note, welcome in to the first post-game episode of Locked On Rockets of the 2017-2018 season. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. I say one down, 102 to go, because in theory, if the Rockets never lost a basketball game, they would go 103-0, 5 games in the preseason, 82 games in the regular season, and then 16 in the playoffs, 4 games per series. Odds are, that's probably not going to happen. In fact, I can pretty much bet my life savings that it's not. But at the very least, on-pace guy can be thrilled with the result tonight. Through one game, the Rockets are 1-0. The Rockets coasted to a win in Oklahoma City. Final score not really indicative of how much the Rockets controlled the game, and that's because in the fourth quarter, you finally had some non-rotation regulars get run. When James Harden and Chris Paul, the first game of that era, were in the game, the Rockets outscored the Thunder 90-73 through three quarters, actually up by close to 20 points for most of the third, and the Rockets were clearly the better team. Now, to be fair, Oklahoma City did not play Russell Westbrook, so that's certainly to be expected. However, when you're going up against a team that was a playoff team last year and has Paul George and Carmelo Anthony on the basketball floor, see the Rockets look so dominant with their regulars. For the first three quarters of the game, they only played 8 players. With Nene out, this is a maintenance game. Nene's 35 years old. He's not going to play much in the preseason. And Tarik Black with a sore knee. They essentially played just an 8-man rotation with P.J. Tucker as your backup 5 of sorts behind Clint Capela. You had your starters, then Tucker, Luke Bob Mute, and Eric Gordon off the bench. But yeah, with those 8 regulars, the Rockets were much better than the Thunder. And that's even after starting off slow in the first quarter. The Rockets actually took them to the final minute of the first quarter to get the lead. They came out a little bit cold. And then in the second and third quarter, they really, really took charge. Strong showing for a lot of guys, but I'll start with Chris Paul because to me, he was the story. 11 points, 7 assists in his 24 minutes. I know he was just 2 of 5 shooting, but he was plus 15 in his 24 minutes, and he was a big part of why the Rockets were so deadly from behind the arc. In the first three quarters, when Chris Paul and James Harden were out on the floor, the Rockets made almost 50% from behind the arc, 20 of 42, and the caliber of looks they got was crazy. I posted a lot of highlights on my Twitter feed, at Ben Dubose. The cross-court passes, the behind-the-back, not only was Chris Paul spotting those guys, he was giving it to them in stride, behind the back, in stride, on the way up for Luke Bob Mute. Hit Ryan Anderson cross-court a couple of times. And, of course, Eric Gordon, geez, what a night it was for Eric, who led the Rockets from a scoring perspective in his first game of the 2017-2018 campaign. Eric, I'm looking through the box, 21 points in his 24 minutes on 7 of 12 shooting and 6 of 8 from behind the arc. And a big question I've seen from a lot of folks, were the Rockets, was it a matter of them just being hot, or did they get better threes than last year? And while they were hot, I firmly believe that they did get a better quality of looks last year. For starters, last year, when James Harden sat, the ball movement slowed down, as opposed to this year, when James Harden sat and Harden played most of the first quarter. Chris Paul took the first rest. Gordon came in for him at about the 6-7 minute mark of each half, and then Chris Paul came back in later. And you could see a big difference because whereas in the opening minutes of the second and fourth quarter last year when the ball movement, even if the Rockets succeeded, it was because Eric Gordon got hot and a lot of times created his own offense. It was tonight like the ball movement never stopped. That was a big difference from being able to have a Hall of Fame point guard out there for literally every minute of, well, the first three quarters. Now, they didn't play the fourth quarter because it's a preseason game, but if this were a real game, of course, the Rockets, they've said that. That's their goal with Chris Paul and James Harden, to play one of those guys every 48 minutes. And so, yeah, it was a big difference, and especially against the second unit. Because last year, that was what was a little bit awkward for the Rockets, is that, in theory, you would be able to take advantage when the other team goes to their bench. And on occasions, they did. They certainly did in the playoffs when the Thunder were without Russell Westbrook. But by and large, the Rockets weren't able to do that, because that would also be when James Harden has to sit down. Well, now all of a sudden you have either Paul or Harden. It looks like the first kind of preferred option is for Paul to be that guy running the second unit. And then all of a sudden, if you're doing that against backup players, boy, early in the second quarter, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, they all got great looks. And really, it was a great night for all of them. I mentioned Eric Gordon because he led the way in scoring. But Trevor Ariza, he had 18 points, 6 of 9 shooting, 5 of 7 from behind the arc. Ryan Anderson had 10 points on 3 of 7 shooting. All of his were from behind the arc. But the key for Ryan, he was actually a team best plus 21 in his 19 minutes. Now, I know you guys get sick of hearing it, but the gravitational pull was a factor. Sure, he hit a few threes, but then the other side of it is after he hit a couple, then the fact that the Thunder had to account for him out to 27, 28 feet was a big factor in how other Rockets were able to get driving lanes, most notably Chris Paul and James Harden. About the only negative you could point out, James Harden was not his usual crisp self, excuse me. Did have 16 points and 10 rebounds, but he was 5 of 16 from the field, including 3 of 12 from behind the arc. But folks, I attribute a lot of that to the fact that it's the preseason. The bottom line for James is that a lot of his game, when it comes to the regular season, he takes a ton of contact, a ton of pounding, and there's no reason for him to do that, especially with Steven Adams in the middle in a preseason game. For James, this was about simply getting into distribution mode. Sure, he took some threes because that's what he'll do from time to time. But in terms of his shots, I know it was a low percentage game, but if this were a real game, I think you'd see him driving to the rack a lot more, taking more contact, trying to get fouls. In this case, he understood what the limitations were based on the game, which is don't go out, don't take a pounding, don't get hurt. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so I think you had James kind of slipping back into shooting a lot of threes mode, whereas in the regular season you would have seen him attack a little bit more. We've talked a lot about, in the early going, of course, James and Chris. And even though James did not necessarily have his best efficiency night, he did, of course, have 10 assists in his 29 minutes, which proves that both James and Chris can both get plenty of assists. Chris with 7 in 24 minutes, James with 10 in 29. They both had their periods in which they kind of ran the offense. But we talked a lot about, and I said this was a leading theme going into the preseason, about how the Rockets are going to fare when it's just James Harden or when it's just Chris Paul. Because one of the perks, of course, is now the Rockets, as I said earlier, are able to have one of these Hall of Fame point guards out there for all 48 minutes of a game. So no matter what happens, you have, barring foul trouble, an elite quarterback out there at all times, to use an NFL analogy. Well, the other thing, and I've never been worried about this, but a lot of others around the NBA were, how are these two going to play when they're together? That's the other half of the game, and of course, this wasn't a game where you really were in a closeout situation, but if you were, of course, you'd have Chris Paul and James Harden, and people always say, okay, these are two point guards, they're ball dominant, how are they going to coexist? Are there enough basketballs? Can they make it work with one basketball, basically? And it was mixed, but I thought overall it went pretty well. I thought generally you still had James serving as a de facto lead more possessions than not, and I think probably James being younger, it's a little bit easier to have him, especially with his familiarity in Houston, this being his team, it's a little bit easier to have him as your option one. But what I thought was really telling and really effective were the possessions in which the initial action with James did not work. Then you could swing it to a fresher Chris Paul, oftentimes a defender that may not be as engaged or aware. I thought that was really smooth, and you could tell, in my opinion, that they had worked together a lot in the offseason on that. And so if that initial action with James didn't work, then they were able to swing it on the other side to Chris, and then he was able to initiate something, and oftentimes that was able to get going. And in my opinion, I know it's game one of the preseason, but you could see a lot, in my opinion, that the Rockets, especially that core group and the 8 regulars, again, no Nene, no Tarik Black, but other than that, all your regulars were there, you could see that they put in a lot of work over the offseason. And I would say that's in contrast to the Thunder. Now, I know the Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook, but I thought with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, there was a lot of tentativeness, particularly with Paul George in the first half when Carmelo was out there. Who's going to take the shot? How do I fit in? And that's not a shot at them. That tends to happen a lot when you have players that are new to a system. And, of course, even if they were willing to work out, it wouldn't really matter because they didn't get Carmelo until the very end of the offseason. But you can see that there are going to be some growing pains there. And that's just trying to fit in, even with Russell Westbrook not there to draw as much attention and to take as many shots as he normally does. As opposed to the Rockets, you can see, even in game one of the preseason, these guys have been working together. It started in July in Vegas. They went out to the Bahamas, I believe, in August. They've been doing a lot of work, and of course here in Houston, and it seemed like that this team was in regular season form. I haven't even talked about their defense yet. Their defense was absolutely swarming, very impressive. Again, held the Thunder to 73 points through three quarters, but really, that they had a hot stretch late in the third just to get there. after a pretty good start for Oklahoma City, the Rockets were very active defensively, and it really picked up when they got that bench unit with P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute. Started off a little sluggish, the Rockets did. Carmelo Anthony scored the first 12 points of the game for Oklahoma City, I believe, and they had some trouble with Ryan Anderson guarding him one-on-one. By the time you got in P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, those active hands, and boy, in addition to the hands, P.J. Tucker, so strong. He's like a bull. And in addition to his strength, just absolutely ripped guys clean a couple of times, including Carmelo on one occasion before he went coast to coast. But the Rockets, we've talked so much offensively. Defensively, I thought they were pretty impressive, too, with that regular unit. Not as great in the fourth quarter, but that's to be expected. We know the Rockets is one of those things when you have a top 10, and as Mike D'Antoni said before the game, he feels that they're top 10 players. And when he says 10, he's also including Nene and Tarik Black, who did not play on Tuesday evening in Oklahoma due to a sore knee for Tarik, and then Nene, just a general maintenance game because he's 35 years old. But D'Antoni said before the game, he feels those top 10 could play for any team in the NBA. Said his ninth guy could start on a contender, and all 10, he thought, could start on virtually any team. Of course, given circumstances, he's not saying that every one of them should start on any team. What he's saying is that they're perfectly capable of, depending on the team's needs. And I would agree with that. In those first three quarters, we talked a lot about the offense, 20 of 42 from three, 17 assists from James Harden and Chris Paul, and I do think those assists generally got the Rockets much better looks overall than they did in a lot of their games last year. But I thought the defense, after a slow start, got going, especially with PJ and Luke, and I think that's only going to be even more so when you have Nene and Tarik Black and another body at the backup center spot, and so you could have PJ and Luke even more active in terms of their perimeter defense and their ability to play multiple positions instead of just having to play small. All in all, I thought it was very encouraging for the Rockets defensively, and of course offensively, what more can you say? They made a lot of threes. You can say they were hot, but folks, James Harden, Chris Paul, the ball movement was crisp. You could tell that even when they were together, and there were, you know, there's always going to be growing pains. I think the growing pains is a little overstated because, of course, they want to play together. I think when you're really going to see growing pains, you're not going to see it in the regular season, or not in the preseason. You're going to see it in the regular season when it's close and late. Who's going to initiate the offense in the last 3 or 4 minutes, say on opening night, if it's close in Golden State? That's where there may be a little bit of a learning curve, and we saw that, for example, with Durant and Curry last year in Golden State, with LeBron and Dwayne Wade their first year in Miami. Anytime you put two top 10 players together like that, there's always a little bit of a learning curve like that. But over the balance of a 48-minute game or the balance of an 82-game season, by and large, these guys get it, and I thought their action on Tuesday night, it worked pretty well. Even when one initiated the offense, one thing I thought was great is that they were very selfless. If the first action didn't work, then Chris was willing to let James initiate the second time, or James was willing to let Chris do it. And by and large, if one didn't find a favorable matchup, the odds are pretty good, the other one might. And if nothing else, even if the first player doesn't necessarily succeed in his initial action, then he's probably attracting so much attention for whatever the Rockets' first attempt to do, that then that second action from Chris or James, whoever that is, playing off the ball initially, it's going to be all the easier because of the attention that first action drew from the defense. So by and large, yeah, the Rockets made a lot of shots, but I thought it was a much better quality of overall shots than what we saw maybe the second half of last season. Now, granted, there is some shot making in there, and I think Eric Gordon in particular, I've harped on in the past, this past season for Eric Gordon, first half of the year, he was a borderline all-star, scoring almost 18 points a game, over 40% from the field, over 40% from three. Then the second half of the year, he was just average, essentially down to 32%, which is at league average, or even a little bit below from three, and he was a little bit more of a volume shooter rather than a true efficient player. Trevor Ariza, he followed a similar path, and the common theme, the Rockets last year, after James Harden, did not really have a second all-star level creator, so those secondary guys like Trevor, like Eric, probably got overextended. Eric, in particular, had a couple of injuries to his feet and then his back that probably zapped a little bit of explosiveness going into the second half of the year. And so the quest for the Rockets is going to be, how do you keep the first half version of those guys from last year and have that roll over for full 82 games and then into the playoffs? And certainly you want to give them off games here and there. You want to make sure that their minutes are down. But I think a lot of it just comes down to usage. And you hope that by having a secondary creator in Chris Paul after James Harden, that you get them a better quality of looks. And you also don't have to see those guys strain as much to really create their own offense, and you hope that over the grind of an 82-game season, all those months, that it takes less of a toll on their bodies. Now, this is one game. But so far, so good. It makes sense on paper, and we're going to have to see if it actually plays out that way, and it's going to take not just a few days, not even weeks, really months to tell. But from everything we've seen so far, I think there's a case to be made that by adding Chris Paul, you can get the fresher version of Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon for longer. It also helps, of course, that you have other defensive players like PJ Tucker, like Luke Bamute, and so they don't necessarily have to play as many minutes. They don't have to overexert themselves. It's not just about offensive usage. It's also defense as well, and so you bring in more defensive playmakers, and hopefully that can limit their usage there as well. I think with Trevor and Eric, we know who they are, but even though we know who they are, there's been a lot of variability with them in recent years, so there's some question as to how you keep their efficiency up, and we've seen the route on paper. I've said this offseason, and through one game, it's playing out exactly that way. You just have to hope, if you're a Rockets fan, that it continues, but from every indication that we've seen so far, they're bullish on it, and then, of course, you look at the results in that box score on Tuesday evening. Eric, 21 points in his 24 minutes, 7 of 12, 6 of 8 from behind the arc. Trevor, 18 points, 6 of 9 shooting, 5 of 7 from behind the arc. So far, so good. But the only guy we didn't see much from, I talked about the two bench guys, Luke Bamute and PJ Tucker. Shooting wasn't great, 5 points each. Luke was 1 of 2, PJ was 2 of 6. They were more energetic, and their contributions were because of the, I would say, the overall spark, rather than anything in particular that they did for an offensive perspective. I think that's going to be the case most of the year. It's about energy and defense with those guys. If they hit a few threes on a given night, great. Luke did have a big, just an impressive fast-break three from on the assist from Chris Paul, but by and large, those two aren't being relied on to be scorers. They're energy, defense, hustle guys, versatility, and I think you saw what you want from them. The only guy that, and I did say going into the game, that I haven't really mentioned in terms of those eight rotation players is Clint Capela. And I know in the pregame, I mentioned him, this being kind of a litmus test for him against Steven Adams. I wouldn't say he did poorly. Clint had 7 points and 4 rebounds in his 25 minutes. I would just say that if you watch the game, it wasn't really the style. This was not playoff basketball, let's be clear. There were a lot of, I would say, guys working themselves back into shape. And for the Rockets, they were able to get such a high quality of looks from three consistently that it never became an interior game. Now, yes, Clint played, 25 minutes? And I understand he 7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 of 7 shooting. Those are not great numbers. Then look at Steven Adams, who's one of the better centers in the NBA. Steven had just 4 points, 4 rebounds in 19 minutes, 1 of 1. This was just not a game for interior players. Both teams were trying to get up and down. Both were trying to integrate new players on the perimeter. Paul George and Carmelo in the case of the Thunder. Chris Paul in the case of the Rockets. And you could tell that both teams are focused on passing, also the defense. Not everybody was in shape. People are trying to build up stamina. And so both teams, it was a outside first mentality, and so the game came down to getting threes more than it did in the playoffs. In the playoffs, of course, you're going to have more interior, the game slows down. Also, at that point, the teams are more secure in what they are. This game, I know I mentioned Clint Capela as a key, and I won't say he played well, but I also won't say he played poorly. It was just more of kind of a non-event for the guys on the interior in this game. It's just sometimes, especially in the preseason, the game just plays out a certain way, and in the case of the big men for Oklahoma City and Houston, Steven Adams, Clint Capela, it felt like a draw in which neither player did very much, and that's not a great thing for the Rockets, but it's also not a bad thing when you say you played Steven Adams to a virtual draw. I'll just say I think there are going to be more games ahead where you might get a better tell for where Clint is at as an individual in terms of Tuesday evening, the preseason over, not a whole heck of a lot to take either way. About the only negative you could point out, of course, the bench did get outscored in the fourth quarter, 24-14. But folks, we know that the end of the Rockets bench, that's not the strength. You bring in guys such as Isaiah Taylor, Chris Johnson, who else did we see? We saw a little bit of Bobby Brown. He did hit a three. Joe Chi, he hit his first shot with the Rockets. Actually, his first and only shot, 3 points, 2 rebounds in his 4 minutes. But we know when you have a team as good as the Rockets are with their first 10, you're not going to be able to have guys 11 through 15 that are absolutely loaded. At this point, when the top 10 are that good, guys that can be your 11th through 15th guys are generally going to go places where they can have more opportunities. Troy Williams did play. He did outscore in his 5 minutes. But by and large, that's going to be a search for the Rockets all year long. And the truth is, if the Rockets are a contender, they're going to have their main guys healthy anyway. You hope over time that some of those 11 through 15 candidates on the roster can step up. But in terms of game one in the preseason, I'm not really discouraged about that. We know that the depth beyond roster spot 10 is not a strength of this team. You just have to hope for health. And, well, if one of those top 10 gets severely injured, that in and of itself is going to be a big problem, much more so than who do you have theoretically in your spot 11, 12, or in one of those three non-active spots. So really, when you look at the Rockets from the context of who's actually going to matter in the regular season, very, very encouraging opener as far as I'm concerned, and really don't know how else to break it down but that, so I will leave things right there. Once again, Rockets 104, Thunder 97, Rockets now 1-0 on the preseason, and keep in mind, I know it's the preseason, but this stuff can matter. They got off to a good preseason start last year, started 5-1, finished 5-2, although the last game they pretty much played no one. So that did translate into the Rockets, of course, starting 31-9 last year and being just a 60-plus win team for over half of that season in terms of their pace, their efficiency, how they played. Preseason in the NBA, it does matter, because this is not football where it's all dependent on what plays you call, what schemes you call, and even if you have your guys out there, if you're not treating it like a regular season game, it doesn't really matter. No, basketball, a lot of what you see comes down to just making plays, one-on-one, two-on-two, just basic pick and rolls. Can so-and-so cover? And as I said earlier on, you know, they did struggle a little bit with Ryan and Carmelo. Then things picked up in a hurry when they got PJ Tucker and Luke Bamute, that extra length, athleticism in the game. And preseason in the NBA, you can't focus necessarily on wins and losses in a vacuum, because certainly sometimes, say, if the Rockets had lost this game on Tuesday because they got outscored by a ridiculous amount in the fourth quarter, it wouldn't really have said much, because certainly they dominated the first three quarters, and if they lost the game, which they didn't, with guys 11 through 15, then what the hell does that really mean? But by and large, if you win the game, and the Rockets were in a great position to, up 17 after three quarters, you're probably going to do that no matter who you play in most situations, then yeah, you can say that they won the game because of the contributions of those, well, the eight rotation players that were active tonight, and that's why the NBA preseason, yeah, you can tell a lot, because a lot of times it is just one-on-one action, two-on-two, pick and rolls. It's just a matter of going out and making plays. This is not football where you have these intricate play calls and schemes, and if you're not treating it like a real game, then you can't really take anything. No, preseason NBA has validity, especially if you're playing the regulars, which the Rockets did. And by the way, I expect them to at least two more times. We'll see how they handle Thursday's game against Shanghai, because that's an international team. But folks, the compressed preseason this year, there's only five games as opposed to the usual seven or eight. That's because the NBA wants the regular season to start in mid-October as opposed to around November 1st. That way you have fewer back-to-backs, fewer stretches of four games in 5 nights, et cetera, more rest over the course of those 82 games. So because of that, the preseason's limited. In the case of the Rockets, one of the five games is against an international team, and there's only so much you can take when you're not playing an NBA opponent. So when the Rockets have four games against NBA opponents, and tonight was one of them, they got three more. Maybe the last one against the Spurs on the 15th, or on the 13th, I don't know how many of the regulars will play that long in that one, because it's right before the regular season opens on a road back-to-back. But other than that, these three preseason games against NBA opponents that aren't the last game, yeah, I expect the Rockets to take them pretty seriously, and there are some very real things that you can take away from those games. Regular preseason basketball does have more correlation to the regular season than a lot of other sports, because it's not as correlated with specific play calls or, say, pitch sequences in baseball, those types of things. It's just going out and seeing if your playmakers could go out there and make plays. Sometimes it's just like going out there and being on a playground. And in the case of the Rockets tonight, Chris Paul and James Harden, they just had far better playmakers than the other team, and that's why they were pretty much in control of this game for the entire time that the regulars played. As far as where they go from here, I'll be talking with you again after Thursday's game, but with them playing the Shanghai Sharks, that's the home preseason opener, but we'll see how much the regulars play. I have a suspicion, with being a second game in 3 nights, also not an NBA opponent, they may not be as much. It might be a little more of evaluation for those 11 through 15 guys. And by the way, some of the 11 through 15, I know I said they didn't play that well. Well, part of it, they're all very inexperienced. It's very possible some of those guys simply get better during the preseason from playing more, and that's what they could get against the international team. But these three games that are not the final game against NBA opponents in the preseason, I expect the Rockets to take them pretty seriously. And they did, and they went out there and executed. So props to them. I do think it's a good sign, because the preseason can translate in the NBA. And we'll see what they say in the coming days. But I have a pretty good sense that they're going to be fairly pleased with this performance. You could tell not just the way they shot the ball, they were engaged defensively. You could even see the guys on the bench. They were standing up, cheering. They were treating this like a real game. They took this seriously, and kudos to the Rockets. They went out and they got that win, once again, 104-97 in the preseason opener over the Thunder. So with that, I will wrap it. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. If you're not already following me on Twitter, please do at Ben Dubose. The show, Locked On Rockets, you can do so at Locked On Rockets or email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. As I said just a few moments ago, the Rockets return to the preseason Thursday night, the home opener at Toyota Center against the Shanghai Sharks, and I look forward to talking with you guys more then. For now, go out and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Happy final, one final time from OKC. Rockets 104, Thunder 97. Rockets now 1-0 in the preseason, and on pace, guy says, they are on pace to go 103-0 through the regular season, through the preseason, regular season, and playoffs. That might be a bit ambitious, but you know what? Your Rockets look good. A lot of positives to take out of it, so be happy tonight, Houston, and I'll talk with you again in a couple of days as the Rockets take on the Shanghai Sharks.